Just a quick introduction. So I'm a fifth year student at UTS, and I'm studying social sciences with international studies. And probably first off, one of the really good things about the UTS program is that the international studies program integrates that year of exchange or international experience into the degree. So from the outset, the student knows that they will be completing that, which makes it a lot easier to then do things like negotiating the credits and making sure that you hit targets in terms of like your language training. So, and I noticed that some other universities are starting to move towards that sort of model for international experience, but UTS is doing a really good job at it, I think. So since I commenced university in 2014, international exposure was always a priority for me, which was partly because of personal interest. And we touched on this earlier, talking about that initial exposure to things like Japan or exchange early on. The first thing I got that experience with was the Genesis program, which is delivered through JICE, which is the Japan International Cooperation Center. And they were giving out like 2-week study tours to go around Japan. And I wasn't really sure if I was ready to commit my 5-year degree to studying Japanese. So that was a really good opportunity to sort of dip my toe in the water and say, oh, actually, this is really great. I want to do this. So the Japanese government probably has a lot to do with the fact that I have spent the last 5 years intensely studying Japanese language and Japanese culture, and that's where my career seems to be going. I've just started at the Asahi Shimbun, so I think the rest of my career is probably going to be very Japanese oriented. But also another thing that really helped me to make that decision was, from the government level to the university level, even at my high school, there's been this ongoing message of internationalize your degree, internationalize yourself, make yourself more valuable to employers. I was lucky, I went to an international baccalaureate high school, so that was always a message from the time of I was about 11. That's been a constant message. And UTS has always strengthened that message. Every student should be doing an international experience. Every student should be considering how they can fit that into their professional persona. After I did that short exchange program in Japan, just the 2-week study tour, I did a couple of other international programs in other parts of the world, but I kept coming back to Japan because there was just something that really stuck with me about that. And I've just finished 15 months in Japan. I only arrived back in March, but it feels like it was just last week. I'm still not quite used to being back in Australia. So I did an intensive language program in Kawasaki at Senshu Daigaku. And then I spent a year at Yamaguchi Daigaku, so way out in the sticks, which was a very valuable experience. I highly recommend to anyone to consider a Inaka University. And then I spent a few months with DFAT at the Australian Embassy in Tokyo, working with their public diplomacy department, which kind of helped me see how NCP fitted into the bigger picture of people-to-people connections. These experiences, coupled with the fact that I worked for UTS for quite some time, 2 or 3 years in marketing and in the way that they did student outreach, it kind of helped me to see how all these pieces fit together. So I've got the experience as a student, I've got the experience as having worked for a university, and then I've also seen it at the government end. So I've had a bit of a unique experience in the sense that I have been able to see all of these different things within a relatively short period of time. So the main thing I want to talk about is, what are the student considerations when choosing a program? And this is outlined in much more detail on the handout, so I urge you to take that away. And I've left my email there, so you can please send me any questions, anything like that. So typically, the initial consideration a student will be making is time and cost. And that's something that's quite obvious to everyone here, I imagine. And we talked earlier, that's a big thing that's stopping overseas students from coming to Australia, simply because of the massively high cost of living, especially in Sydney. I struggle and I'm Australian, so especially when compared to Japan. But at the same time, Japan is often viewed as being an expensive place to live, but that's absolutely not the case once you go there and you start living and you start thinking, why did I ever pay more than this for vegetables? It's really, really so much cheaper to live over there. To put it into perspective, my rent in Yamaguchi for a month was about $300, including utilities and a bicycle. And that was what I paid for the whole month. I don't think I could even get that for a week in Sydney. So I've put a more detailed breakdown of some of the costs that students have to grapple with on the handout, things like transport, insurance. So I guess my first recommendations to universities would be consider how the university could shoulder some of the cost and the cost burden. And UTS does this very well in the sense that they shoulder the cost for international travel insurance, and that goes on the university's policy, and that is such a big difference. Also, we have access to international ISOS, which is 24-hour medical assistance. New Colombo Plan has something pretty similar. International assistance, I believe it's called. But just by providing things like that, it just helps students take that step towards being able to be financially responsible, or even convincing parents and saying, look, I have the travel insurance all set up, so I'll be able to handle this. In addition, I think the next big thing is supplying information. Information seems to be one of those things that universities believe that they are providing, but when it comes from the student end of actually trying to find and actually trying to have those questions answered, we seem to be having a number of places where we're told to go and look for the information, but we don't actually know what order to do things in. Like, if I want to start investigating about an international program, should I start by looking at things like the HECS-OS help loans, or should I start by looking at scholarships, or should I start at my student office? It seems to be confusing, and because there are so many different sources of information, sometimes the wires get crossed and sometimes there are quite conflicting bits of advice that are coming out. So it would be really lovely to have a more cohesive hub of information, even within the universities, to provide a better, more cohesive breakdown of what you need to research, what you need to cover before you go on exchange. Specifically to do with Japan, highlighting the availability of special funding for Asia Engage programs is a massive draw card and something that can be really emphasized a lot more than it already is. I don't think that anyone is doing enough to say, hey, Asia is a really cheap place to study. There is so much funding available for students who are interested in Asia. It's really close by. That means that flights are cheaper. These things need to be emphasized more because they are real considerations that students are taking into account. Students aren't just thinking, oh, I want to go somewhere fun like the States. They are really thinking of those really practical things. Another related to funding is providing academic or other recognition to students who complete overseas programs. So it isn't always possible to get credit for overseas programs, like academic credit towards your degree, but people who deliver the programs can do other things, such as provide certificates of recognition or provide references. There are so many things that they can do beyond just offering academic credit, and it would be really great to see more programs offering that kind of recognition to students. And that's another thing that, you know, it's another thing to put on your CV. It's another thing that can really entice students to do that program if they believe that they're getting something in return, something physical. And then looking at the country itself, students want to know that the place they're going to is safe. They want to know that they'll be able to manage culturally there. And I think this is another thing we can emphasize about Japan is that Japan has got such a low crime rate. It's a very safe place to live. I lived alone as a woman in Tokyo. That is not something I'd probably feel comfortable doing in any other major city. That is a really big factor, especially for women traveling alone. With these things in mind, how can universities and program administrators better sell Australia and Japan and Asia as a location? And what can institutes be doing better? Firstly, by providing simple collated sources of information, such as on a website or a leaflet that goes through those key facts and details about programs so that students can find the answers they need in one place. Secondly, students need to find reassurance in regards to challenges. This could be through offering clear breakdown of all costs and links to getting financial support. This could be information events where students can talk to people who have previously done the program, or it could be an FAQ sheet. No two institutions are going to have the same response to that, but all institutions do need to be more upfront about managing student concerns. Thirdly, institutions should offer, where they can, support such as travel insurance, weekly contact with students via email, recognition of academic credit, and that will really help to persuade students and their parents to allow them to embark on these quite, you know, long-term and also expensive programs. So they would be my main recommendations, but please refer to the handout for anything more, and I've left my contact details there.